Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Chaf Dalid. We left off in daf Chaf Gimel and Beis. We were discussing getting a Parah Aduma from an Oved Kochavim. We had a discussion, Machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, where it quoted a Mishnah, daf Chaf Gimel and Aleph, Paras Chatas, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Eino Nikachas Mina Ovde Kochavim, Vechachamim Matirin. Rabbi Eliezer said, cannot be purchased from an Oved Kochavim, and the Chachamim were Matir. So we are at the word Gufa, it's the first word on the line. It is about nine lines before the end of the page. Gufa, Tani Shila, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer? Why does he have a problem with buying the paras chatas, with buying a parah aduma from an Oved Kochavim? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says that Berel b'nei Yisrael v'yikachu b'nei Yisrael yakichu ve'ino Oved Kochavim yakichu. That we darshan that you can only purchase it only b'nei Yisrael can cause it to be purchased, meaning can sell it to you. You can only purchase it from b'nei Yisrael, but you cannot purchase it from Oved Kochavim. So ask the Gemara El Me'ata da Berel b'nei Yisrael. If you're going to darshan every time it says v'yichu to mean yakichu, that you can only buy it from such a person, so it says v'yichu li truma, and this is not talking about truma. Of course, we're very familiar. This is the pasuk about v'yichu li truma meis kalish sheid venu libo tichlus trumasi, in terms of collecting for the mishkan. So achinami de b'nei Yisrael yakichu v'enov de kuchav yakichu. So you mean to say that when it comes to the mikdash, when it comes to collecting for the mishkan and the mikdash, only Jewish money is accepted, but non-Jewish money, non-Jewish items are not accepted for the construction of the mikdash? V'chitema achinami, unless you say, yeah, in achinami, it's true that it's usher to buy gold and the avanim tovos, the special stones for the melechus hamishkan, from Ovdei Kochavim. V'ha'amer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, but Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Sha'alu es Rabbi Lazar, ad heichem kibud aveim. They asked Rabbi Lazar, how far does the mitzvah of kibud aveim go? How far does one have to go to ensure that he has to be careful to be mechabed his father and mother? And how much kavod does he have to show? Samar lahem. So he said, let me show you by example. Su'uru'u ma'asa Ovid Kochav Mecha Ba'aviv Ba'ashkelon. Go take a look at what a certain Ovid Kochavim did for his father in Ashkelon. V'dama ben Nesina Shemoen. His name was Dama ben Nesina. Pamachas, it happened once that Bikshu Mimenu Avanim Le'Ephod. The Chacham were looking for the stones of the Ephod. The Ephod had stones also. Not only the Choshen had obviously the 12 stones, but the Ephod had the Avnei Shoham also attached to it. So the Ephod itself had special stones. The Chacham were looking for the stones for the Ephod, v'shishim ribo schar, and they were willing to pay 600,000 dinarim in order to purchase the stones for the Ephod. They were willing to pay an exorbitant sum, because again, you need the stones for the Ephod. So Rav Kahana masni b'shmonim ribo, Rav Kahana said, no, they were willing to pay even more. They were willing to pay 800,000 dinars. V'ayu mavtechos menachos tachos mirasosos shel aviv, and the keys happened to have been placed underneath the Nesina's head when he was sleeping. Velotziero, and Dama ben Nesina did not want to be mitzar his father to wake him up. So you see just how far a person goes in order to avoid having to wake up his father. That's how far the mitzvah of kibud aveim goes. But bottom line, we have a question over here, because we wanted to say that wherever it says v'yichu, we can darshin v'yakichu, that it has to, and it says by the mishkan v'yichu li truma. So we see that we thought to suggest that by the Mikdash also, and by the Mishkan, you can only collect from Jews, that non-Jewish donations are not accepted. But you find over here they were willing to go and buy from Dama ben Nesina. So you see that even if the source of the product is a non-Jew, it's okay. And says the Gemara, Avnei Shoham Hifsika Inyan. That even though initially it says V'yikhu, by the time it gets to Avnei Shoham, it doesn't say ve'avnei shoham, it says with a vav, like it says by all the other materials, v'kesef and choshes v'tcheles v'argamon v'oros. So therefore it's considered hifsika inyan, it's considered that avnei shoham are a separate entity and don't go back on the original v'yikhu. So the v'yikhu goes on the other materials, but the avnei shoham, since it doesn't say it with a vav, are considered excluded from the qualification of v'yikhu, and therefore enochinami v'yikhu, we're supposed to die can only come when the pasuk says the Rebbe Bnei Yisrael v'yichuli truma, we are supposed to dash in that Bnei Yisrael yakichu and of the Kochavim are not yakichu. But nevertheless, Avnei Shoham happens to be outside of that drasha. But that drasha is a valid drasha, and that's where Rabbi Elazar gets the idea that we also cannot purchase a para aduma from Ovdei Kochavim. So, frak the Gemara, how could you say Avnei Shalom Hifzik Inyan, v'havve Avnei Miluim Ksiv, the Hadar Arve? But doesn't it say v'avnei Miluim, which then, with a vav, that then mixes it back in and puts it back on the original v'yikhu, v'od katani seifa, and furthermore, even more fundamental, l'shana acheres noldolo para aduma be'edro. The seifa goes on to say, what was Dama ben Sina's schar for what he had done, for not waking up his father? The following year, a para aduma was born into the flock. Nichnusu chachme Yisrael letzlo, and the chachme Yisrael came to him, Amar lahem, and he said to them, Yodea ani b'chem shemani mevakish mechem kol mamon shabolam atem nosim li. And he said to them, look, I know that if you were to give me all the money in the world, that if I were to demand all the money in the world, you would give it to me in order to purchase this para aduma. But he understood why HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed a Parah Aduma to be born into his flock. After all, it doesn't happen every day that a Parah Aduma is born. As we said yesterday, it happened 9 times in history. Once in the times of Moshe, once in the times of Ezra, 7 times during the Bayis Sheni. And that's it. So he understood that this was something very unique and very special, and he realized that it was schar for what he had done. So he said, let me take that schar and no more. I don't need to take anything more than that. But bottom line, what do you see? That we were willing to purchase a para aduma, and we did purchase a para aduma from a non-Jew. Against what we said, B'Shem Rabbi Elazar. So answers the Gemara, Hasam Ali De Tigre Yisrael Zavon. Over there it was different. They purchased it through a Jewish broker. That there was a middleman, and the middleman was a Jew. So it didn't go straight from the Dama Ben Asina to the Mikdash. It went from Dama Ben Asina to a middleman to the Mikdash, and therefore it's considered to have been purchased from a Jew and not purchased from a non-Jew. Now, a couple of inyanim over here. First of all, Tulsa says that this story had to have taken place in the Bayis Sheni, because as we know, there were no paradumas during the Bayis Rishon. There was just whatever, Moshe and Ezra, but beyond that, nothing else, and until the Bayis Sheni, the 7 paradumas during the Bayis Sheni. So he says this had to have taken place during the Bayis Sheni, Tulsus points out. What you see, therefore, is that they had the ephod during the Bayis Sheni. And if they had the ephod during the Bayis Sheni, they also must have had the shamir during the Bayis Sheni, because the Gemara Maseches Gittin, Daf Samaches, says that the ephod tzarech shamir, that in order to make the ephod properly, they needed the shamir to cut the stones properly. It happens to be that's machlokas rishonim, whether they had the shamir during the Bayis Sheni. The Meiri Maseches Kiddushin Lamed Aleph says that they didn't have the shamir during the Bayis Sheni, so it's going to be difficult to work out exactly how he reads this Gemara. Also, the Rashi says that when the Maftechos Menachos Tachos Mirosos of Shalaviv Velotziaro, Rashi says, what does it mean, Lotziaro La Kitzo Mishinaso, to wake him up from his sleep, meaning that he could have easily gotten the keys, gotten to the stones that he had and sold them, but he didn't want to wake up his father. Now the problem is, there is a Machlokas in the Sechas Kiddushin when it comes to Kibbut Av. Is Kibbut Av Mishal Av, or is it Mishal Ben? Now when it comes to paying for Kibbut Av, very often Kibbut Av is not just something that takes time. Sometimes there's a cost involved. Father needs to go shopping, someone's got to pay for the grocery bill. Father needs to be put in a retirement home or something like that, someone's got to pay those bills. So who has to pay those bills, assuming the father has money? Right? Assuming if the father doesn't have money, so then it's an inyan of tzedakah, that karov kodem. So your father would come before you give tzedakah anywhere else. But assuming the father has money, who has to pay for it? Does the father have to pay for it? Or is it part of the mitzvah that the mitzvah requires payment, that the mitzvah requires that you pay for it as well? So it's machlokas mishal av mishal ben. We paskin that kibbut av is mishal av, that it's not the child's responsibility to pay for it. The father is the one that has to pay for it. In general, all mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero, except for one, have to, as a rule, do not involve spending money. Even though we have a rule on vazis ali vazis osim rechomesh, that you're supposed to spend money up until until 20% for mitzvos in general, but mitzvos bin adam l'chaveru typically don't involve spending money, except for tzedakah, obviously, because that's the very nature of the mitzvah. So as it happens, we paskin that kibarav is mishalav. So all the rishonim ask the kasha, if kibarav is mishalav, and the son doesn't have to lose money for kibarav, over here he's losing a whole bunch of money for kibarav. So we want to say, ad heichad, we want to use Dama ben Asin as the example. We want to know, how far does kibarav go? So we use Dama ben Asin as an example. So it's difficult to even say, yeah, that was lefnei mishur din. What do you mean? We're trying to say this is the example of how far you're supposed to go for kibarav. So why are you giving me an example of the Femishuris din? Give me an example of what the real din is. So that's why some of the Rishonim did not go the route of saying that it's Lefemishuris din. The Ran in Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Bedapei Ariv, gives two answers. Number one, he says that Lechabdo, in order to be Mechabed him, we say that you don't have to give up your own money. But Kedei Shelo Letza'aro, in order not to distress him and not to pain him, so then you have to be Ma'avid Kol Mamon Shaba Olam, then you have to lose however much money it takes in order to not be mitzayir him. Very similar to the concept that we have, that even though hamavazvez alivazvez yosir michomesh, that you only have to spend up until 20% of your money for a mitzvah sasei, for a mitzvah lo sasei, you have to give up all of your money, right? It's very similar, that a mitzvah sasei is ava. The mitzvah sasei, the Ramban writes, on chumash, represents ava sashem. So to show your ava sashem, so that you have to spend X amount of money. But mitzvah lo sasei is yira, mitzvah lo sasei, when you do it, you're upsetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the mitzvah lo sasei, you have to give up everything. So similarly, when your relationship, lahavdil, in your relationship to a parent, it's also that to do something positive for him, so that the monetary requirements don't really exist. But to do so, to avoid doing something negative for him, so then you have to give up whatever money it's going to be. Another possible answer, says the Ran in Maseches Kiddushin, when do we say Mishal'av? That's only when it comes to how much money you're going to spend, how much money you're going to have to lay out or lose. But over here, it's not what we call hefsid, it's ravcha bialma, that if he were, this is money that he could have made that he's not making. It's not money that he's losing. There's a big difference. For instance, by Melechas Chol HaMoed, we have something called the Davar HaAved. Davar HaAved means you're going to lose. It doesn't necessarily mean that you could have made money and now you're going to lose out on the opportunity to make money, because everything is like that. So it's not. So over here, it may be different because he didn't lose money, he just didn't make money. In the Sefer Chassidim, it says that if a person has an opportunity to make money for his father, and let's say the father knows that, and the son knows rather, that if the father would be able to make this decision, he would definitely want to be woken up in order to be able to make this money, because it's a very impressive sum of money. So the Sefer Chassidim says, then definitely a person is supposed to wake up the father, mitzvah la'akitzo. It's if you know for sure that he would want to be woken up, and therefore he says, let's say the father wants to wake up on time for shul, and he didn't wake up yet, so this and if the son knows the father wants to be woken up, so absolutely the son could go ahead and wake up the father. Nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's still better that the son have someone else do it, that the child not do it himself. It's just not appropriate for a child to be waking up a father. He should make sure the father wakes up, but better to have somebody else do it rather than to wake up the father himself. That's part of the discussion over here. Who's Avanim were these in the story of Dama ben Asina? Was it the father's Avanim, was it the kids? If it was the father's, it would be very difficult, because Mistama, he would have been interested in waking up. If it's the kids, you understand. If it was Dama's, so you understand. He's the one that gets schar, because he's the one that lost out on all that money. And that's the impression you get from all the Rishonim, that they assume it was the sons, and that's why they ask, Kibarav, Mishalav, and not Mishal Ben. The Shakli Vitari of the Gemara is a little bit difficult over here also, because the Gemara initially brings this as a raya that we're allowed to get. The Gemara initially answers this raya by saying that Avnei Shoam was an exception. That by Avnei Shoam it's an exception that you're allowed to get from a non-Jew, but Paraduma you still can't get from a non-Jew. And then the Gemara says, "Come on, the end of the story. Everyone knows the end of the story. How did the Gemara not know the end of the story in the first place? Whenever the story is quoted in the Gemara Kiddushin, we always have that's the whole kuntz, that he was rewarded with Paraduma. So it happens to be that there are midrashim that quote this story without that kuntz, without the end of the story. and they quote the story completely differently, that that never happened, that what really happened was that initially he didn't want to sell the, he told them, I can't sell it, because the stones themselves were underneath the father's, where the father was sleeping, and he didn't want to wake up the father, and the Chacham thought he was just driving a hard bargain, so the Chacham upped the price. So he said, look, I'm not selling it. So they upped the price again. And then, while all that was going on, the father woke up. And once he woke up, he said, okay, here you go, I got the stones. So the Chacham were willing to pay the price that they had raised it to, and he said, no, Chas Shalom, I'm not going to take that money, I'm not going to take beyond that, but nothing to do with the Parah Adumah. So it could be that initially the Gemara didn't have the Parah Adumah part, the Gemara didn't realize there were other versions of the Masorah over here, of what exactly happened, and they didn't have Parah Adumah over here. So this is, there's also a major discussion over here about Ovdei Kochavim in regards to the mitzvah of Kibud Avim. It's not one of the Shavu Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Yet, our heroes, both in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, in the mitzvah of Kibud Avim, are both non-Jews, right? In Torah Shebichsav, the paradigm of Kibud Avim is Esav, and in Torah Shebal Peh, the paradigm of Kibud Avim is Dam Ben Asina. That can't be by accident. So what that does tell you is that it's a mitzvah sichlis, that it's something that's very logical. It's a Pashra Karas HaTov. Anyone should be able to figure out that you have to have a proper respect for parents. And that relates to why it is that of all the rewards he could have gotten, why is it that Parah Adumah is the reward that he got? So in the show Lumeshiv, in his Sefer on Gemara, in the Sefer Divrei Shaul, authored by the same author as the Shaul Lumeshiv, Yosef Shaul Nathanson, he says that, so in his Divrei Shaul on Kiddushin, he quotes in the name of the Ketzos that says, based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, the Chesed Le'umim Chatas, where in Babasa Darshan's that Pasuk, but what a Pashut means, Chesed Le'umim Chatas, is that when the Umim do Chesed, when the nations of the world do Chesed, it's Chatas, not the way the Gemara Darshan's in Babasa, that it's an Avera for them, and that it really doesn't reflect well on them, but that it doesn't reflect well on us. Because here they are doing chasadim, and we don't do, it makes it look bad, because we don't live up to that level. So as soon as Dama ben Asina was willing to not wake up his father, and lose out all that money, in order to practice kibrav, it looked terrible for the Jewish people. It was a tremendous kitrug against Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that a Parah Adumah be born into his flock in order to stop the kitrug, because Parah Adumah is not a mitzvah sichlis, meaning, so it was a way of saying, look, you're right, the Ovdei Kochavim may do a mitzvah sichlis, but Klal Yisrael is going to be dedicated and give up who knows how much money just for a mitzvah that's a complete chok, that's the ultimate chok, that isn't even logical, just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so, and that alone is good enough, and that way that we would be mashtik the kitrug, we would quiet down the kitrug against Klal Yisrael. Fine, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar lo chayish l'Raviya, is Rabbi Elazar really not concerned about Raviya? Meaning Rabbi Elazar is not worried. He's not worried about the bestiality, about that issue when it comes to Ovdei Kochavim. V'atanya amr lo Rabbi Elazar ma'isav l'chum in Ovdei Kochavim v'dama shmo v'amr lo remetz shmo. But didn't we learn that they said to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning the Chacham said to Rabbi Eliezer, that they once bought it from an Ovid Kochavim, the Dama Shemo, and that Ovid Kochavim's name is Dama, it was Dama, which would be the same Dama, and Varmi La Remet Shemo. If you look at Rashi, Rabbi Lezer Lochayish Lurviya Lashila Parchinan, the Tani Time Rabbi Lezer Mishum Kicha. We're assuming if Rabbi Lezer says the reason you're not allowed to buy the Parah Adumah from the Ovid Kochavim has nothing to do with Revi, it has to do with this drasha from the pasuk. So we're asking, why are you not choshish for Raviya? Didn't we learn that the chachamim, when they were arguing with Rabbi Elazar, showed how we did buy from an Ovid Kochavim? So Amar Lahen Rabbi Elazar, Misham Raya Yisrael Lo Yimisham Rosa Mishas Shenolda. And had Rabbi Elazar respond to that? Rabbi Elazar said, "Now you can't bring a raya from there because Jews were watching over that animal from the time that it was born. But if it's a drasha from a pasuk and has nothing to do with Raviya, so who cares? The Jews were watching it from the time that it was born. Isn't this a raya that Rabbi Eliezer is concerned about Raviya, having Jews watch it from the time that it was born? So Rabbi Eliezer tarti islay. Kicha v'chayish nami l'Raviya. Rabbi Eliezer actually holds of two reasons that you can't get it from a non-Jew. Number one, you have to worry about the pasuk. pasuk says Bnei Yisrael Yakichu Velo of the Kochav Miyakichu. Plus, he's also worried about Revia. So, to address the Revia problem in the Dama case, in the case of Dama Ben Asina, he says, yeah, they had a Jew watching it from the time that it was born. To address the issue that you're getting it from Levi Kochavim, isn't that against the pasuk? So he says, yeah, that's why there was a Jewish intermediary that bought it from Dama before selling it to us. Amar Mar, Yisrael Oy Mishar Menos HaMishar Shenolda. So what did Rabbi Elazar say? There were Jews watching it from the time that it was born. I v'nechush Dilma Ravi li'ima ki'avim ha'avra. Why aren't we worried that maybe there was bestiality committed with the mother while the mother was still pregnant, and that would also passel the Vlad? Dama Rava Vlad Nagachas Asura Hiu Vlad Nagchu. That if a Vlad, if a pregnant mother is Nogeach, so both the mother and the baby are Asur, because it's considered that the baby is part of the mother that was Nogeach, the gourd, and therefore, and the same is true, Vlad Hanirva'as Asura, the vlad of an animal that was nirvaas, that had bestiality committed on it while it was pregnant, he who vlad and nirva'u, they're both asur because they're both considered to have revia to have been done on it. So how can you say, oh, don't worry about revia, they watched this animal from the moment it was born? What about before it was born? What about when the mother was pregnant? Were they watching it then? So says the Gemara, Ema Yisrael Yimshamar Samishash Notra. Yeah, you have to change it and say that where Belazar Tainad was that they had a Yisrael watching it from the time that it was conceived, but still, maybe the mother was nirvaas prior to that, and that also would passel it. To Tanan, Kalapsun Lagabi Mizbech, Vladosein Mutarin, Vetanyala, Rabbi Eliezer Oser. Rabbi Eliezer holds that anything that's passel on the Mizbech, the children of that animal are also passel. So, Hani Chalurava Dama Ravam Rav Nachman, so you could, according to Rav, it's going to be okay, because Rav says the name Rav Nachman, Machlokas Kishanir Vukshen Mukdashin, that's only the whole discussion, the whole Machlokas, where Rabbi Eliezer is going to insist that there's a problem even with the children, is only if the Revia happened while it was ready kadosh, avlok shein chulin, divrei kol mutarin. But if the revia happened while it was still chulin, then everyone would hold its mutter. So that's very good. So then you could say it was chulin at the time, and therefore there was no problem if the mother was nirves before it became pregnant. Elo Rav Huna bar Chinnamer Rav Nachman machlokas kshenirvuk shein chulin, avlok shein mukdash divrei kol asurin ma'ikel meimar. But if you hold that this machlokas Rav Blazan the Chamim is when it was chulin, is even if the animal was chulin at the time, so how can watching the mother from the time of conception be enough? That should also be problematic, because forget about watching from the time of conception, you shouldn't be able to just watch it from the time of conception. That should be problematic because maybe the mother was nirves prior to that. So says the Gemara, Ema Yisrael ha-yimashar menosa li'ima misha'a shenotra. So you have to go one step further, say that a Jew was watching over the mother from the time the mother was conceived, not from the time the child was conceived. V'nechosh dilma ravua li'ima di'ima, aye, but maybe the grandmother was near vase of the animal. That's a little bit far. We're not going to go that far to be choshesh that the grandmother also was near vase. That's a little bit further. If you look at Tosos and Nechush Dilma Rav Le'ima, where we say, why aren't we concerned that they were revere the mother? Tosos says, Hadlo Parach Dilma Allah Ol Al Ima. We're saying that the child of any psul can't be used. So why do you have to say that Dilma Nirves Ima, that the mother had bestiality? Just say, Allah Ol Al Ima, that it had an Ol on it. Vihivi Ima Nasu Ol. And therefore, both child and mother had an Ol on it. Imkein Lo Ashkan Parashalo Allah Ol Al Ima. Detran Allah Allah Zachar Psul. He says, no, that type of psul definitely can't go to the child, because there's no such thing as an animal that didn't, a mother that didn't have an ol on it, because even a zachar counts as an ol. So as long as it was mounted ever by a zachar, so then that would passel it. And obviously, the mother of every para aduma was mounted by a zachar, because there was no immaculate conception. That's the way these things work. So obviously, that would not actually passel it. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar, Yisrael Yimsham Nusam Yishah Shenotso. So we said that the Jew would watch it from the time it was conceived. Minaya Dina, how do we know how to guess right which animal to watch from the time it was conceived? Do we have a Jew watching every single cow that every time it conceives on the chance that this might be one of the big nine, one of the nine paradumas in the history of humanity? I mean, that's crazy. It's impossible. So how do they know? What tipped them off? That when it came to Dam Ben Asina's paraduma, they knew that at the time that it was mating, that there was a red cup right in front of it. So if it's thinking red thoughts while mating, So there's a good chance that it was going to have a red baby. Well, if you could just do that trick, put something red in front of the animal, why is it so expensive? It should be so easy to produce paradumas. But no, because even if there are just two hairs that aren't red, that would pass the whole thing. So how do they know? Why did they do this dafka by the Ovid Kochavim's cow? Why didn't they try it on a Jewish cow? Amar Rav Kahana b'muchzekes. No, because it happened to be in Dom Ben Asina's flock. It was known that that it worked. That this cup, putting the red cup, created red children. They were just waiting for the one that was not going to have the shtei saros that weren't red, and they were waiting for the one that was going to be kosher. We find this idea that whatever is in front of the mother at the time of the Zivug is going to have a profound impact on what the child is going to be like. We find it by Yaakov Avinu and Chumash in Parshas Vayetze, right, with the Makolos and the Akudim, the Nukudim, right, whatever he put in front of them is what they saw, right, when he put them by the water and they saw their own reflection. So if they were spotted, they had spotted offspring, etc. And we also find Maseches Brachos. I think it was Rabbi Yishmael in Maseches Brachos Daf Chaf that he used to go and sit by the Sharei Tevila. He used to sit right outside of the mikveh when women would come out of the mikveh, so that when they would come out, they would come and they would see him, and they would have children who were as beautiful as him. They would want to take a look at him so that they could have children who were as beautiful as him. So that image would be in their minds at the Shas Zivug. You have, there's a Medrash Tanchuma like that also in Parshas Naso, that there was a certain matronisa that she and her husband were both very white, and they had a black child, and they wanted to kill her, they wanted to execute her based on the obvious, that she had obviously cheated on her husband, and then someone said, no, maybe she was being mahar her black thoughts at the time, and they went into the bedroom and they saw that there was black all over the bedroom. So again, the you have Mamari Chazal all over the place, this idea, and the Rabbeinu Bechai says in Parshas Vayetze, that you see from here that the Shas Zivug, the Machshavos have to be so Kadosh and Tar, if you want to have children who are Kadosh and Matarim, fine. Yes, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, killed Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha were sitting by the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Pasachad minayu va'amar. One of them started to say, "V'cheinoy Rabbi Elazar posel b'kol ha'karbanos kulan." That Rabbi Elazar posel all karbanos that came from a non-Jew. Pasach yidach minayu va'amar. The other one said, "Thank you very much." The other one said, "Pasach yidach minayu va'amar." And the other one said, "Mayu sivule chavori l'Rabbi Elazar." What question did the Chachamim ask on Rabbi Elazar? The Chachamim who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar, how did they ask on him? Kol tzon kedar yikavtzulach. Pasuk says kol tzon kedar yikavtzulach, and that implies that they got the tzon from non-Jews. Samalan Rabbi Elazar, kulam gerim grurim heim lasalavos. Rabbi Elazar says, no, they were all gerim grurim. Gerim grurim means people who wanted to be megayer, people who were interested in being megayer. Didn't mean we accepted them, but they're gerim grurim. Amar Rav Yosef Mikra, what's the pasuk? Ki oz epo chalam safa brur of a gomer. So that's where you see that that it's a reference to gerim grurim. Maybe all they did was tshuva from Avodah Zarah, but who says they tried to become Gerim? So that's an indication that there was no chiluk between those who were Oved as Jews and the Umos Olam, who also tried to do all the mitzvos like Jews. Rav Papa Masni Hachi. That's the way Rav Papa taught the whole conversation. Rav Zvid taught the conversation differently. That both of them said this wasn't a machlokas. Everyone said that Rav Elazar passed by all karbanos to get them from a non-Jew. And they both said, what was the pasuk that the Chacham used as a ray against Rav Elazar? So it's that pasuk of Koltzon Kedar. And Amr Rav Elazar, Kulub Gerim Gurim Eim La Salavo. So it's essentially the same conversation. It's a matter of attributing who says what. Instead of it being a back and forth conversation, they both agreed to each point. It's just a repeat of the last five lines, except with the names changed. That's what Rashi says. There's a big difference between these two lashonos. He attaches names to each of these steps of the Gemara, and yet in the second version, we don't attach those names. So So I asked the Gemara Meisve, so again, we're going to be asking on this idea that we wanted. It's Haina, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't take any carbon from an Ovid Kuchavim. So Meisve, you can't purchase an animal for any carbon from an Ovid Kuchavim. So the Gemara is going to ask five or six different rayas against this. So Meisve, Vayomer Moshe gam atatitin biyadenu zvachim biolos. Moshe says atatitin biyadenu zvachim biolos. So it's a kasher and blazer kodem matan Torah shiny. Now that must have been that was prior to matan Torah, and therefore it's not a problem. Tashma another raya vayikach Yisro chosin Moshe olav zvachim lelokim. That Yisro chosin Moshe brought karbanos Yisro nami kodem matan Torah, but that was also before matan Torah, so it was not a problem. Hanich leman yamir Yisro kodem matan Torah. Hava Elamandi Yamar Yisrael Lacher Matan Torah Hava Michael Meimar. So that works out great if you assume that Yisrael Taka was before Matan Torah. What if you hold Yisrael was after Matan Torah? El Yisrael Yisrael Zavin. So it must be that Yisrael got it from Yisrael, that he bought the animal from Yisrael. So it's not going to be a problem. If you look at Tosos on the top says if you say Yisrael is Lacher Matan Torah, Simkain Tzipora Yishus Moshe Lo Ba'a El Lacher Matan Torah, then Tzipora never came into the picture until after Matan Torah. And if that's the case, the tikshi al hadar min perikabal evento gimel dvarim also Moshe midaito viskum akadosh baruch hu al yadav kachashiv pirish mini isha umay kamar halo isa tziporimo. If Tzipora was still with her father at the time, she was still by Yisro. So what was the big deal that Moshe did three things and akadosh baruch hu was maskim, and one of them was that he was purish mini isha for matan Torah? His wife wasn't around by matan Torah; she was by her father. So the yeshlomer akadosh baruch hu nasan leiv lifrosh mini isha. I'm not sure what that answer means. That akadosh baruch hu that Moshe had been thought about that it would be the appropriate thing, even though he in fact didn't have to do it because anyway his wife wasn't around. So I'm not really sure exactly what that means. Okay, says the Gemara Vaitu, Tashma, another raya. Vayomer shol me'amaleki yuviyum asher chamala amal meitav atzon v'abakar l'man zvach l'ashem elokecha. Shaul, when he was supposed to wipe out all of Amalek, he didn't. He left some animals around, and the reason he left the animals around was to be able to bring karbanos. So animals from Amalek, animals from Gaim, what was he thinking? How's he going to be able to bring them as karbanos? So my meitav, no, what does it mean from the best of the animals? Demei meitav, he meant that he was going to sell those animals and use that money to bring karbanos, but he wasn't going to use the animals themselves. Then why did he have to save only the best animals? Let him save the worst animals. You could sell anything, sell all animals. If you're just using the money, you're not using the animals themselves. It would be a big hassle to sell the bad animals. Selling the better ones is going to be much easier because there's going to be much more demand for it. Tashma, another raya. Vayomer Avon El David. David buys the area that's going to be used for the Beis HaMikdash, which was the Goren of Arvana HaYavusi. Arvana was a Yavusi, and he sold David the area where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built. Vayomer Avon El David, Yikach V'yal Adoni HaMelech HaTov Bein Avre'ei HaBakar La'olav HaMarigim L'chei HaBakar La'etzim. And he says, go, take whatever you need. And he offered to give it to him, and David said, no, I insist on paying for it. But he said, whatever you want to take animals, use those as karbanos, whatever you're interested. So don't you see that you can use the animals of a guy for karbanos? Amrav Nachman Arvana Ger Toshav Haya. Arvana was a Ger Toshav. If you look at Rashi, when Rashi says that he was a Ger Toshav, Rashi says Shekibol Sheva Mitzvos Pnei Noach VaRevia Bechlal. He was Mekabel Sheva Mitzvos Pnei Noach. Amongst them was Revia, was Arayos. So you didn't have to worry that the animals that were coming from Arvana, even though he was a non-Jew, you don't have to worry that the animals that were coming from Arvana were subject, you know, had the experience of Revia in the past. It's interesting that Rashi says Shekibol Sheva Mitzvos, because Rashi and Daf Chaf says Ger Toshav is someone who's Mekabel all Sheva Mitzvos. But if you look in Rashi Masech Sanhedrin Sadi Vavon Beis, he says that Naaman was a Ger Toshav who was not Mekabel all the Mitzvos, only Mekabel Shalolav and Avodz Kachavim, just Mekabel not to do Avodz Zara. And this is a Machlokas. The Gemara later on, Samachdal and Beis, is going to say, according to Rameir, good enough just to be Mekabel not to do Avodz Zara if you want to be a Ger Toshav. According to the Chachamim, you need to be Mekabel all Sheva Mitzvos. The Ram and Pasans like the Chachamim. But we see Rashi splits. Rashi in some places says like the Chachamim, some places says like Rameir. My Morigim, what is this Morigim that he offered him, that Arvana offered? Amar Ula Mita Shel Turvil. It's a Mita Shel Turvil. Great. My Mita Shel Turvil. What is a Mita Shel Turvil? So Iza de Kurkasa de Daishan. It is a goat that helps with the threshing. Amar of Yosef, my crow, what's the Pasuk? Ine Samtichel Amarik Charutz Chadash Baal Pipios Tidosh Harim V'Tidosh tidokvos kmot tasim. So you see that you see moreg in the same word as tidosh. So you see it relates to threshing. Meisvei another raya vesaparos helu olul Hashem, and the paros went. They brought as an olul Hashem when the plishtim sent the aron back to the Jewish people. They sent it back after it was causing all sorts of trouble for them. Right, the plishtim thought they'd keep the aron, they'd hang on to the aron, but it caused them. Kadosh Baruch Hu put them through a whole series of exercises that were not particularly comfortable because they had the aron in their midst, and they realized they had to get rid of it. So they attached it to some cows, and the cows slept the aron all the way back. And what did we do with it? We brought them as an olul Hashem. So I answered the Gemara, Hora Shah. So yeah, that was just a Rasha that we did that. And you have to say it was a Rasha, because otherwise, how would you be allowed to bring a female as an olul? An olul always has to be a zachar. Well, my kushya says the Gemara, why is that a problem? Maybe we're dealing with a bamas yachid. It wasn't the bama vol of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't in the Mishkan. It was a bamas yachid. Ravada barava. Dam ravada barava. Minayin lol in a keva she ksher bamas yachid. When do you need, says Ravada barava, a zachar for an ola? That's in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash. But a bamas yachid, you can even use in a keva for an ola. Shnem rav yikach shmol tlech chel v'echad v'yaleu ola. That Shmuel brought a female and used it as an ola. V'yaleu zachar mashma. So says the Gemara, no, Vayalehu sounds like it was a male. Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Vayaleha Ksiv. But the Ksiv of the Pasuk is Vayaleha Belasha Nekeva. So you see that it was a female. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Gvul Yeshla. Pachas Bas Gimel Shanim Ne'akeres, Bas Gimel Shanim Ein Ne'akeres. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, there's a certain border, a certain boundary that you know, that you could know for sure. That prior to the age of three, the animal, if it's subject to bestiality, can be ruined for life, and it's not going to be able to have children. But after the age of three, it's ein ne'akeres. So when is there a chashash revia? Only if you get the animal past the age of three. Tosfos asks, what are you talking about? This is not true. He says it doesn't happen nowadays anymore. That's not true. That we see Maisim B'chol Yom that actually, it's not in this line. It's on the next line. So Frektimar Eisvei Kalani Tiyufta. So we ask all of these Tiyuftas on Rabbi Yochanan Shani Lu Pchusim Baskimul Shanim, and the answer to all of these Tiyuftas is no. There are all these cases where it was Pchusim Baskimul Shanim, and therefore you don't have to worry. The guy didn't do anything with the animal when it was Pchusim Baskimul Shanim. Tashma, let's bring another. Rayav Esapara Helu Olal Hashem Pchusim Baskimul Shanim. That also you have to say it was talking about where it was less than 3 years old. And if it's less than 3 years old, there's nothing to worry about. Mask for Funa Breid Rav Nasan Im Kain Hainu Vespeneim Kalu Bebayis Pchusim Bas Gimel Shanim Mika Yolda. But wait a second, we said that it had children, right? So if it had children, how can you say that it was Pchusim Bas Gimel Shanim less than 3 years old? It's unable to have children. Vatanan part of v'chamor v'bas gimel v'adai l'kohen mikan ve'eluch safek. If you're not sure if your animal just had a bechar, just had its first child or not first child, so if you purchased the animal when it was less than 3 years old, so then you know vadai this is the bechar because it can't have children before three. If you purchased the animal after it was 3 years old, so this might not be a bechar because the animal may have had children before. Ela mechavarta k'tishan me'akar. So you have to go with our original answers and not just say that it was pachas in baskim l'shanim. You have to go with all the original answers that we gave to these questions of all these situations of how we got these different animals from the Ovdei Kochavim. So on that line, Tosa says, Pchusim Bas Gimel Shanim Vadei LeKohen, because it's not able to be yoled prior to the age of three. Tells us Yesh L'Tma Hamaisa B'Chol Yom De Parah Bashtei Shanim Yoledes. Happens every day that 2 year old paros give birth. They always have babies. What's the problem? So says Tosfos Yesh Lomer Devadei Ata Nishtane Eis Mikmosh Hayah B'Doros Rishonim. Very important Tosfos. He says it all over Shas that nowadays the nature has changed. Science has changed from the time it was in the Doros Rishonim, and the way animals reproduce has changed, and we find examples all over Shas where Tosfos says like this. Maseches Yuma Tafayin Zayin. Tosfos says that things that Nishtanu Ativim to answer an issue Moed Katan Yud Aleph Nishtanu Ativim, and therefore this relates very much to using medicine and treatments that Chazal recommend. The Yamshel Shlomo says that there's a Cherim Akadmonim. Yamshel Shlomo in Chulin says a Cherim Akadmonim not to be somech on the Refuos in the Gemara because it's Tali Lifi Teva Aratzos. It's Tali based on societal factors, based on environmental factors. rather, and we don't know that we're in the same environment, and that's the Nishtanu Ativim. In the Likutei Ma'aril he says any of the Refuas and the Lachashim that are in all the Gemara, you're not allowed to try them out, because we're never going to be able to get them right, they're never going to be able to work, and then all we're going to come to do is mock the Chachmei HaTalmud. All we're going to do is have less respect for the Chachmei HaTalmud. So we're not allowed to try out such Refuas. In Shulchan Aruch, Chor Chaim Simen Shin Lamed Aleph says that Bizman Chachmei HaGemara, if they didn't wash a baby before the Milah, it was considered a Sakana. The Shulchan Aruch says, nowadays we don't wash the baby before the Milah, for whatever reason. So it's not considered a Sakana. So, and also, the most famous example probably is in Eben Ezra Simen Kufnun Vav, the Ramah points out that the Gemara always assumes that Yoledes Lates Einu Yoledes L'Mekutayin, that if a woman has a 9-month pregnancy, it never could, if she gives birth a little bit early, if it's not exactly 9 months, it's going to be a big Sakana with a Yoledes Lates, with a regular 9-month pregnancy. It can't be 8.5 months, it's going to be a big Sakana. If she has a 7-month pregnancy, which was a different kind of pregnancy, then it could be Yoledes L'Mekutayin, so the baby could be born after 6.5 months, and that's okay. And we find that it's just the opposite, that if a baby is born 6.5 months, it's very, very dangerous. Babies born 8.5 months, usually everything is just fine. So again, you have to say that this idea of Nishtanu Ativim. There's a Chuvas Chassam Sofer where there was a chassan who had a taina that his kala lied about her age. That they got married and he taina was mekach tos, that she's much older than she said she was. So Chassam Sofer says, if she's already past the age of 40, then you could be menatek the shidduch, then you can break the shidduch, because the Gemara says in Babashuk Kufitas on Beis that once she's 40 years old, she's not Yoledis anymore. She's not able to have children anymore. So the later Achronim point out that doesn't seem to be true anymore. This is also an example of Nishtanu Ativim. Yeah, that may have been true at one time. Certainly nowadays, with medical science, what it is, so it's you could tie it to Mekathos anyway, because the chances of success obviously are much less after the age of 40 than they are beforehand. But to say that it's impossible, that it's never going to happen, that they're going to be able to give birth, that's a very difficult thing to say. Okay, we will pick up from 2 dots tomorrow. Tonight, we're going to have a special edition of Daf Yomi 9:30 tonight instead of the Tuesday night shiur.